Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show.
Clones, welcome back to our Daily Jungle. My first Friday back since the break. I hope that you denimed up, you backed it in, and you finished the week strong, because we all did. Three great guests. We had Angel skipper Mike Socha on for the first time in quite some time. He was great. Wisconsin Badgers head coach Paul Christ and USC Trojans linebacker Cameron Smith. And that's before I got to my excellent takes. For the second time this week, I opened up the show on the Jacksonville Jags. And that's not because Blake Bortles played well. Jay Cutler made his Dolphins debut, and he absolutely killed it. And we had an incredible call from Danica in Jacksonville, who punched the first ever golden ticket in August. You have to hear her call. All of that and Alvy's week that was, so let's just go ahead and roll it. I made history earlier this week when I opened up the show with Blake Bortles and the Jacksonville Jaguars. The only thing crazier than me doing that once, or me doing that ever, is me doing it twice in the same exact week. Not even the same season, not even the same preseason, twice in the same week. Totally unprecedented. But they gave me no choice. And yes, they're going to steal the show.
Steal the show.
So you can save those tweets. I've got that covered. Here's the thing. I want to get on the Jags bandwagon. I know Jags fans want to as well. But that love is unrequited, thanks to one Robbie Blake Bortles. The Jags lost to the Bucks in a game that was every bit as ugly as that 12-8 final score would indicate. And as further proof, the numbers do not tell the whole story. Blake Bortles went 8 for 13 for 65 yards, no picks. And you look at that box score and you think, well, that's not so bad. 8 for 13, 65 yards, no picks. That's not so bad. You'd look at that, you'd think that, but you'd be wrong, because it was terrible, even by Blake Bortles' preseason standards. And that's grading it on the kindest curve of all. It was terrible. I mean, you tell me, what was your favorite Blake Bortles moment from last night? Was it that play-action fake to that invisible running back? Or was it the one-hopper to Allen Robinson that he threw on the same exact play? Or was it when Robinson beat his cover by 5 yards and Bortles underthrew him by 3? Some of those passes were so bad, it didn't look like he was underthrowing Robinson. It looked like he was throwing to somebody else, except there was nobody else there. It was that bad.
Dropping the throw is Blake. Fires deep down the middle of the field. Once Allen Robinson, incomplete. Allen broke free, but the ball was behind him. It's incomplete. It's going to be fourth down. There are some boos here in the stadium.
Well, and I get it, because the quarterback, Javion Elliott, has the man coverage on Allen Robinson. And Allen Robinson beats him right away, and he's got about a 4 or 5 yard cushion. If this ball is just a little underthrown, it's complete.
Jags Radio, if you're an NFL quarterback, you make that throw. It's not a hard throw to make. You make that throw. But then again, let's flash back for a moment to the practice earlier this week when Bortles overthrew Robinson.
Keep the bleep in bounds, bro.
So if he was dropping a bleep every other word in practice, what was Robinson doing last night during a game? I'm surprised he didn't go all Jeff Galooly on Bortles' knee right after that game, and I would not have blamed him if he did. It got so bad that Jags fans were actually rooting for Chad Henne to come into the game. Do you know how bad that is? That's officially rock bottom when you think that Chad Henne might make a situation better. That's like getting repeatedly punched in the face and then saying, hey, can you just kick me in the junk? Maybe that'll feel better. Because it won't, and it didn't. And then afterwards, head coach Doug Marrone dropped this beauty on Blake's head. Quote, it's not like he's not the quarterback. End quote. It's not like he's not the quarterback? Is that some sort of Tom Jim Sula style riddle?
I wouldn't say that.
So does that mean he's the quarterback or that he's not the quarterback? I don't blame Marrone for going with the doublespeak. I'm surprised he didn't just run into the press conference like that Michigan women's basketball coach did back in the day.
That's how I feel. Damn sick and tired of getting out rebounded. 25 offensive rebounds. First time we block out, we get called for a damn block out. We're pushing people.
I mean, if Moran had done that, I would have totally understood. Instead, he took a more measured approach. But you can tell this guy's sick to his stomach. Quote, I met with both quarterbacks afterward. I told them what I'm looking for is I'm looking for somebody that's going to lead this offense. I'm not happy with the performance today. I'm not going to sit here and BS anyone. I mean, everybody saw it out there. Whatever you want to call it, I'm still trying to evaluate who the best person is at that position.
I met with both quarterbacks afterwards. I told them what I'm looking for is I'm looking for someone that's going to lead this offense. So I'm not happy with the performance today. I'm not going to sit here and BS anyone. I mean, everyone saw it out there. Whatever you want to call it, I'm still trying to evaluate who the best person is at that position. I told that to both quarterbacks.
Let me save you some time, coach. Whatever you're looking for, you're not going to find it in your quarterback room right now. Everybody knows the old saying that if you have two quarterbacks, you really have none. But the truth is, if you have Blake Bortles and Chad Henne, you don't have two quarterbacks. You don't even have zero quarterbacks. That's like having negative quarterbacks. At this point, they would be better off just having Leonard Fournette running the Wildcat all day long. At least he'd bleeping keep the bleep in bounds, bro. Bleep.
In bounds, bro.
Don't tell that to Blake. Blake says it's all good. Nothing has changed for him.
Nothing changes for me. It's the same thing. The mindset doesn't change. Obviously, tonight wasn't a good showcase at all. And, you know, I don't think anything will change. We'll come in tomorrow, watch it, and get to work on Saturday.
Right, Blake. That's the problem. Nothing changes for you. This is the problem. How can you be 4 years into the NFL and really not be that much better than you were when you first entered the NFL? I know this. Watching him last night, he's still no better than he was even last year. He's still making all the same mistakes, still missing receivers who are wide ass open, and still making bad decisions with the ball. And he still can't make even the easiest throws. Seriously, I think this guy might be playing the wrong position. Honestly, watching him last night, I think he might be playing the wrong sport. He's 11-34 overall as a starter. That gives him the worst winning percentage of any quarterback taken in the top three in the draft since 1967 with at least 40 starts. That according to ESPN. And if that was kind of too hard to remember or follow, check this. 11 pick sixes. 11. It's an astonishing number. An astonishing and awesome number. And they should have known better. Mike Socia is my guest. I mentioned the win, Mike, on Wednesday in Washington. Your starting pitcher, let me start there. Ricky Nolasco didn't have a great first inning, but he battled through. He got you to the sixth before he had to leave with cramps. What did he show you in the way he handled that adversity and the way he fought through it?
Well, you know, Ricky is, if you look at his one-loss record and some internal statistics, not having his best season. But one thing he does, he competes as well as any pitcher I've ever seen. So it really comes down to a matter of if he's on and he's making his pitches, he's going to have success. And as things start to get away from his delivery and he misses, then he's going to be in trouble. In the first inning, you know, he left a fastball, a sinker right in the heart of the plate to Zimmerman, and they get off to a 2-0 lead. Then he found it, and he made some pitches all the way through to almost finish the sixth inning. And you know, Ricky battles, and I think that sets a tone for our whole team when your starting pitcher goes out there, and maybe he's struggling a little bit, but you know he's going to go out there and give everything he has to try to get the game to a certain point.
Los Angeles Angels manager Mike Socia joins us. So then you get a two-run home run from Cole Calhoun in the sixth, and then your bullpen goes to work, allowing just one hit in 3 1/3 innings of work. In fact, over the last five games, the bullpen has allowed a total of 2 earned runs in more than 17 innings. So when you've got a bullpen that's rolling the way yours is right now, how much confidence does that give you and then the rest of the team?
Well, there's no doubt that we're getting some depth down there, Jim. And the one thing about our pen, these guys have been out there a lot, and they're doing a great job. You know, you want to make sure they stay fresh so they can stay effective. But I think the whole key to this thing is getting the game on your terms and holding leads. And we're at our best when we're able to do that. So the bullpen obviously becomes a big part of that. These guys have been terrific. A lot of guys are getting an opportunity to pitch in big games that maybe hadn't before in their career, you know, back into pens, guys like Blake Parker, and you know, you've got Bud Norris, who was closing for us for a long time. some young guys like Keenan Middleton and Cam Bedrosian are doing a terrific job, and he's Merrill Petit. So it's kind of an eclectic group, but they're getting it done.
Clones, let me talk to you about Stamps.com. Stamps.com saves you time and money, which you can use to grow your business. I can mail any letter, any package, using just my computer and printer, and the mailman picks it right up. I can avoid the hassle of the post office and mail everything from postcards to envelopes to packages, domestic or international. And you can create your Stamps account in minutes online with no equipment to lease and no long-term commitments. Click, print, mail, and you are done. Unlike the post office, Stamps.com never closes. You can print postage for letters or packages at your own convenience 24/7. It's convenient, it's easy, it's reliable, it's flexible. Stamps.com brings all the services of the U.S. Postal Service right to your fingertips. And right now, you too can enjoy the Stamps.com service with a special offer that includes a 4-week trial plus postage and a digital scale without long-term commitments. Go to Stamps.com. Click on the microphone at the very top of the homepage. Type in Rome. Stamps.com. Enter Rome. Stamps.com. Never go to the post office ever again. That is Stamps.com. Now it's back to our daily jungle. And like I mentioned, you've won 7 of 8, so you're holding down the second place wild card spot. But if we go back to July 28th, the team was 5.5 games out of the wild card. At that point, Mike, did it feel like the team was ready to break out and then go on a run?
Well, I knew we had a chance to play better, and I felt we would play better. And it all comes down to some of our offensive woes. You get Mike Trout back in the lineup, and it makes everyone else kind of get in the place where they're comfortable. And not that we're knocking the cover off the ball, but we're definitely pressuring teams more, and that's going to be important to us. We always felt like we're going to be in a pennant race, and even some of the darker times during the season when you were in some of those. A couple losing streaks, you always felt like you were going to play better, and we have. And, the thing about baseball is, you're coming into the last 6 weeks of the season, and the last 6 weeks of the season, can be a lifetime. So you need to keep focused, just chew this thing one pitch at a time, and you're going to play tough games all the way out. And we know we have to play well. So, yeah, when we were playing poorly, we felt we were going to be able to turn it around. Now, as you're starting to get a little momentum, you just want to go out there and continue to do what you've been doing for the last couple weeks, and that's going to be our focus.
Angels manager Mike Socia joins us. Mike Trout, the numbers are just mind-boggling. He's already passed the 1,000 career hit mark. He's approaching 200 home runs. If he reaches that number this season, he joins Jimmy Fox, Mel Ott, Mickey Mantle, and Alex Rodriguez as members of the 1,000-hit, 200-home-run club in their age 25 season. I mean, I know people get spoiled by the career he's having, but when you hear his name mentioned with the likes of Fox, Ott, and Mantle, what's that tell you about him?
I think it puts it all in perspective. What Mike Trout is doing, and we see it every day, is just incredible. And we get to see it every day. I think the casual fan or the fan that doesn't see Mike day in and day out can look at numbers and look at what he's doing, and you say, "Hey, this guy's a special player." But when you see him play every day, and the way the little things show up in his game of what he does on the defensive side, how he runs the bases, how he never takes a pitch off, that's one of the things about Mike's makeup that makes him a special guy, along with his natural talent. And when you start to hear the names of the guys that he's being compared to, we're seeing something right before our eyes that's like a living legend. And combined with Albert, when Albert hits a home run or does something, the guys that he's connected with, it's been really fun. But one thing about Mike is Mike's focus is on winning. He wants to win. That's what drives him. And he's not going to be content until he gets that World Series ring, and that's what we're all trying to move towards.
At this point, Mike, is there anything that Trout does that surprises you, or do you just expect the unexpected from him all the time?
Well, he does do things that I've seen very few guys be able to do. Some of the pitches that he hits, out of the park in the opposite field, and you say, how did the guy do that? Or some of the things that he does on a daily basis. There's always that one thing that jumps out, and it just makes a statement of how great Mike is. But I think his real talent is just his consistency. And as his career keeps going, and you hope this guy just keeps going and doing the things that he does, He's gonna be, I think, measured on his consistency. And if he hits 40 home runs and he comes back the next year and he does hit 45, you're not gonna say, well, he didn't have quite as good of a year as he did when he hit 40. He's out there just trying to play baseball day in and day out. He's not chasing numbers, and I think that helps him to stay in the present and do things that he's capable of doing. He's got great makeup and plays the game hard and definitely sets the tone for our club.
Let's take a phone call in Jacksonville. Danica in Jayville. Danica, good morning. What's up?
Rome, I felt like last night that I'm from waking up from a regretful one-night stand. That's basically how I feel. I was at the 5-interception practice. I was at the practice where he threw Robinson out of bounds. Blake Bortles has shown the Jaguars exactly who he is, and that's not our starting quarterback. Chad Henne isn't it. He was benched for Bortles, so there's no way he is any better. We've had 3 years of this. We see who he is. The Jacksonville Jaguars brass knew what they had, and they let it go. They didn't bring in any competition for him, didn't do anything. There's no fixing this. There's no way to come back from this, okay? And you have Jalen Ramsey out there the first year balling out and sitting there on the sideline saying, I'm tired of losing. You got him liking Instagram posts on any other quarterback but Bortles. I mean, the team is not with this guy. The energy last night was absolutely just down. We booed. Nobody is here for this. Nobody wants to stand for this. And the thing about it is, there's nothing left to do. So now I'm out of money for season tickets, and the only thing I can do is go to the games, get drunk, find a little tenderoni, and take him home for the night and ruin him. I'm out.
Danica. Racker. Danica in Jayville, and she just stole the show.
Steal the show.
Look at Danica. That was so great. Jacksonville fan. Started the call off by saying it's like a one-night stand. It's like a walk of shame. I woke up this morning after a one-night stand. I sobered up, so regretful, had that walk of shame. She goes, there's nothing left for me to do. I mean, you got to run back to the last part of that call. There's nothing left for her to do because she's out of money, so she's got to go to the game and look for another one-night stand. It's not going to get any better than that. For Jaguar fans, it may not get any worse than what you saw on the field yesterday, or even worse, it might. It might get worse than that. You've got one Robbie Blake Bortles. How's that for a selection or a quarterback competition? You got to choose between Bortles and Chad Henne. That might be the worst quarterback battle the NFL has ever seen. In Jacksonville, there's so much to like about Jacksonville. Like, I so want to get with these guys. I want to ride that bandwagon because there are a lot of parts and pieces and things to like except for the guy under center. How did you not know that? How did you not bring somebody in? How are you left with a choice between Bortles and Henne? It's horrible. Danica knows that.
Now, I'm out of money for season tickets, and the only thing I can do is go to the games, get drunk, find a little tenderoni, and take him home for the night and ruin him. I'm out.
That's an all-time jungle line. The only thing left for me to do is go to the games, get drunk, find a little tenderoni, bring him home so I can ruin him. She stole the show.
Steal the show.
Who's next? 1-800-636-8686. Hey, I am this close. In fact, screw it. Danica, golden ticket. I just gave her a golden ticket for 2018 on the strength of that one line. You see what I'm trying to tell you? You don't need to have 20 rat calls in a row. On the strength of that one crazy line, she got herself a golden ticket for 2018. We're already talking 2018 smack off. Because, quote, there's nothing left for me to do but go to the game, get drunk, find a tenderoni, bring him home, and wreck him.
Get drunk, find a little tenderoni, and take him home for the night and ruin him. I'm out.
Ruin him. Sorry. That line just got her a golden ticket. And now I'm looking for some reaction. Danica reaction. Matt in Van is in on Twitter. Strongest lady clone call ever. It certainly is. It's up there. That takes me back to the days when Rachel in Houston used to absolutely crush it on the show. when Rachel had more fire than most of the guys who called the program. Matt and Van called it the strongest lady clone call ever. Jeff and Norco tweets, that lady clone is on fire. Mike D for 3 tweets, rack this lady clone. Tommy from NC, damn Danica. Where were you when I went to the Jags opener in 2015? Signed, your little tenderoni.
Find a little tenderoni and take him home for the night and ruin
it. I've got a golden ticket.
Silk Bra is even in. He tweets, boom, racked. You never know when there might be a golden ticket. You see, this isn't a case where we were 6 weeks out, I brought the thing back, I tried to fire up for it. Smack-off's year-round. There is no off-season for the Smack-off. You never know when somebody might rip a golden ticket like she just did. Hey, and I'll be honest, it was the furthest thing from my mind. I'm not sitting here on August 18th on a Friday thinking to myself, hey, who's going to get a golden ticket today? I mean, I'm still living in the glory of that last Smack-off. And out of nowhere, there's Danica to rip one. Paul Christ, we're getting closer to the start of the season, but if you could, can you take me through your approach to fall camp this year? Because the new rules prohibit two-a-days in camp. So how have you gone about structuring that camp? And what kind of an impact has that had, that change, have on you?
It's certainly been different than what we're all accustomed to. And I think players and coaches kind of like the old format, but this is the rules. And so, you know, with 5 weeks of practice before you play a game, I thought it couldn't be like what it used to be when you'd go to fall camp and you'd kind of keep them busy all day. You'd have, you know, all day and night, and they'd probably leave at, you know, 9, 10 o'clock at night. And so we kind of just tried to model it off of kind of the system we used when I was in the NFL, and just kind of a work day, and bring them in the morning and the afternoon and let them go home after dinner and have the evenings. And it's been good for our team. And, you know, I think you had to have enough different ways to break up camp so it wouldn't the monotony of it wouldn't get to it. But our groups handled it, and so it's been a good camp.
Wisconsin head coach Paul Christ joining us. Now, you're one of 4 Big Ten teams in the preseason coaches poll. Knowing you, I doubt you're going to start organizing a parade to celebrate that. But what's it tell you about the quality and the depth of the conference this season?
Well, I think, you know, it's certainly have had a ton of respect for a long time of the players that play in the Big Ten and certainly the coaches. And like we've told our group is that, you know, the reason why, you know, we're mentioning it is the work that's been done by the teams before them. And you appreciate that. And some of these players were parts of those teams. And they should be proud of that. But this is a new year, and that's the beauty of playing sports and playing the season is really all that matters is what you do during that year, during that time, and that's what you have every week. You got an opportunity to build on that and kind of make your statements with your actions. And so, you know, certainly a ton of respect for the conference. I appreciate the guys that we've got here, but you got to go out and you get to go out and do it each and every week, and that's the fun of a season.
All right, then, in terms of the guys you have there, you've got quarterback Alex Hornibrook, who took over as a freshman last season. In week 4, he was strong the rest of the way. How does he look to you right now as he gets ready for the start of his sophomore season?
You know, I think Alex has had a good off season. You know, starting from when he came back, you know, beginning of second semester and spring football and summer, and yet he still is young. You know, there's still a lot of growth to be had by him, but there's nothing like experience, and so I think last year, having gone through it and understanding what it's like to play in a game, and you know, when he's looking over, you know, film from last year, it's him in those situations, and I think that's an area just kind of understanding situational football that he can improve upon. And but you know, those are lessons that he was able to learn, and then feeling that much more comfortable with our offense, and probably most importantly with his teammates, and so he's done a great job of kind of working and being hungry at it. You know, certainly he hasn't gotten complacent because he's been named the starter or anything like that, and so I'm excited for him to continue to grow, but I've liked what he's done to this point.
College football getting started. We're talking some Wisconsin football right now. Now, your defensive coordinator, Justin Wilcox, took the head coaching job at Cal, and then you promoted Jim Leonard to replace him. Now, he had never coached before last season, and now he's your D coordinator. It seems pretty amazing. What did you see in him that made you feel like he was ready to take that big step?
You know, it's I've had a ton of respect for Jim. I was an assistant when he played here, and then we stayed in touch, you know, while he was playing in the NFL, and had some great experiences in the NFL, and certainly being a coordinator, you know, there's a schematic side to it, and as far as knowledge of the X's and O's, you know, he's been exposed and been in great defenses. He's really he's far along in that, and then I think a big part of coordinating is just that it's connecting people, it's connecting groups, and who Jim is as a guy, that's one of his strengths. And so, you know, he doesn't have to do it alone. I feel really fortunate with the other coaches we have on the defensive staff, and we've got a number of veteran players on that defense. And so, you know, hated to see Justin Wilcox go to Cal, and loved the opportunity to work with him. But, you know, feel really good about where Jim's at, and certainly he's going to grow and he's going to learn, you know, this year, and we kind of all hope that we do that.
Cameron Smith, who makes his first appearance on the program. Now, a lot of buzz surrounding your team right now, and I know you're not going to pay a lot of attention to it, but dial us in. What's the vibe like in camp right now?
Oh, we're all glued in. Feeling really good and confident and just excited to for the opportunity to play at Western Michigan. We've worked all season, or all off season long, and things are clicking for us right now.
I saw yesterday there was a shaved ice truck at the end of practice. So the most important question of the day is, did you get some? And if so, what flavor did you go with?
I did not get any. Usually after practice like that, everyone storms over there. So there's a huge line. But I just decided to go into the locker room and get ready to go to dinner.
Dude, that took some serious discipline. I thought that when you're out there and you're grinding and it's hot and everybody's miserable, that's the thing, man. It's about the shaved ice truck, and you didn't do it. That took some serious resolve.
Yeah, I know. I couldn't pull the trigger.
Cameron Smith joining us. Right now, playing linebacker at USC means that you're a part of this great tradition. It includes guys like Jack Del Rio, Chris Claiborne, Junior Seau, to name only a few. So what's it mean to you to be a linebacker at USC?
That's a big reason why I came here. It's an honor to throw on the helmet every day and walk out there and you know, work on the practice field and then walk out to the Coliseum. It's one of the biggest reason why I came here was because of the tradition. So, like I said, it's just an honor to be a linebacker here, to play with these guys, and you know, that's one of the best competition in the country. And it's I'm living life right now.
Cameron Smith joining us. Now, last season's defense was good, but you're in your second year now with D coordinator Clancy Pendergast. Now that you've had a year with him, how much faster do you expect the defense to play?
Yeah, I think we've had so far this fall camp, we've shown great signs of what we can be. I think one key part we're going to focus on this year is just being more consistent, you know, limiting the mistakes and the blown coverages and some of the bigger plays. And that's, you know, that's where we will be, continue to get better from there. So 2 years in the system helps a lot. I think it's just important for us to, you know, just keep getting better and consistent and finding, you know, who we are as a defense early.
Cameron, take me back to last season for a moment, because it was a really impressive performance by the team when you consider you had that really rough loss to Alabama to open up the year. You start the season 1-3. I think a lot of teams in that situation could have just said, look, it's not happening. It's not meant to be. It's not our year. Go into the tank, mail it in. But that's not what you guys did. How were you able to turn that around?
I think, you know, right after the Utah game, we met as a team, no coaches, just players only, and discussed a lot of, you know, where we all stand individually, and you know, what we wanted for the team. I think that played a huge part into us moving on. But Coach Helton was huge in that as well, mainly because, you know, we focused a lot on, you know, how we had gotten better after each week, and just keeping us positive and confident and keeping that culture alive and not letting us to die. So I think overall we figured out who we needed to be and who we were, and just played to our, you know, our best ability. And I think that played dividend in the long run.
USC linebacker Cameron Smith joining us. And then on top of that, I mean, specifically when you look at the Alabama loss, you said, quote, It was embarrassing. Sometimes you've got to get your ass whooped a little bit to define where you're at and add to your motivation, end quote. So what did that loss do for the mentality of that football team?
I think it was huge for us just to see where we stood. We walked out there and we came out with a lot of hype and energy, and we didn't play with that same energy throughout the whole game. And I think that was kind of what we realized was the difference between them and us. And towards the end of the season, there were some games that the other team started out with hype, like UCLA or like Notre Dame came out blazing, and we played with the same hype throughout the whole game and finished those games off right. And so I think it was huge just to see, such a high level team like Alabama and see where we stand and what we need to improve on to follow in those footsteps and start winning more games. And so I think that was, we had to look at it in a more positive way and just get better for us.
Let's talk Cuddy. All right, so scoreboard, maybe the single oldest concept or premise discussed on this show. Hell, probably the single oldest concept in all of sports and the most important concept and the most binary. Somebody wins, somebody loses, period. End of discussion. I don't give a damn about anything else. Anytime anybody calls or tweets or emails or cries about the officiating or injuries or that the better team didn't win, I say the exact same thing. Scoreboard, scoreboard, scoreboard. I've said this for 30 years. Scoreboard. Look up at it. They won, you lost. End of discussion. The scoreboard ends every single discussion. It never lies. Or at least, I always believed that. Until I think last night. Because the scoreboard read Ravens 31, Dolphins 7. And I'm not even sure Miami really lost that game. And that Jay Cutler didn't win that game. Because it also says that Cuddy went 3 for 6 for 24 yards, which sounds completely Bortles-esque, Henny-esque. But if it sounds like one of the worst games ever, why did it look like one of the best? Cuddy probably should have strolled right off the field after those two drives, went back to that still-burning heater that he had stashed in an ashtray on the bench, and told head coach Adam Gase, "Not my fault. Not my fault." And you know what? He'd be right. Because my man was feeling it. He was rocking and he was rolling. Throwing darts. Moving at tempo. And already getting a hell of a lot more out of Devontae Parker than Ryan Tannehill ever did.
Julius Thomas in motion. Play action fake. Back to throw. Fires. Got a wide open Parker on a deep slant route. Down to the 42-yard line of Baltimore. Brandon Carr brought him down, but a nice bullet to Parker.
Oh, my gosh. Jay Cutler put it right on.
Of course he did. Dolphins radio. And you see him checking it down, too, for Jay Ajayi. Throwing that absolute frozen rope on the move to the sideline that went for 31 yards, only to have it called back for a hold. Hell, and for a guy who had his toughness questioned in the past, he goes completely badass, bouncing right up off the turf after getting absolutely planted. What I'm saying is, it took maybe 10 seconds of seeing Cuddy doing Cuddy things to know that this guy was not ready for the broadcast booth. The question now is not, can Cuddy do it? It's, why should Tannehill even bother rehabbing? Because he's not going to get that job back. Not with Cuddy spinning it the way he is. Look out, AFC. Jay Cutler's back. And it's all set up for him, too. Do what you do, Alvin DeLauro. Yeah. What's up? Welcome to the program. I am Jim Rome, broadcasting from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studio. Back at it after a 2-week vacation. Are you guest hosting the Grant Napier show today?
This is Grant Napier.
I think if you do it well, it could be a springboard to getting your own show one day.
Yeah!
Nazis. Actual Nazis. In 2017. So I figured I'd be able to make it through my entire career without ever having to talk about Nazis. But after what happened in Charlottesville over the weekend, that's now impossible. Ice Cube joining us.
It's not pretty. It's ugly. It's elusive. It
it hides and it pops out, you know, like herpes or something. You know what I mean? It just pops out of nowhere.
Ezekiel Elliott. This guy didn't get it at Ohio State, and he still doesn't get it in Dallas. And if a 6-game suspension does not get his attention, then absolutely nothing will. Wake the hell up before you do any more damage to your career or the team that's paying you and counting on you.
I don't have anything to say.
Steve Smith.
It's all 32 teams operating process. I want to learn that. It is equivalent to drinking water from a fire hydrant through a straw.
89.
Nobody wants to be the fat guy. Like the guy you see on TV like, whoa, that dude blew up. Especially when you're 5'9". You can look real fat on TV real quick.
Come on, man. No Wi-Fi. I can get Wi-Fi in a car, but not an airplane.
A car.
A car. Also, I had to ask for food. My pride usually prevents me from asking for food, but I thought that I was going to die. I was famished. I'm like, hey, yo, yeah, excuse me. Yes, sir, can we help you? Is there any food around this airplane?
Food?
David Quessenberry, you not only rang that bell, you ripped it off the wall.
It was a long time coming, you know. This has been a moment that we hadn't talked about since you got diagnosed. You know, I was going to ring that bell as hard as I could because it was just like end of a fight, and we came out triumphant.
Tiger! That night, reportedly he had Vicodin, Dilaudid, Xanax, Ambien, yes, and THC in his system. Tiger Woods was on the Tiger Slam of drugs. Go to Michigan quickly. Scott?
Tiger's not just some small time. My ex was on that she didn't.
Down goes Harper.
Rob Manfred, when you see a star get hurt the way he did, is that just one of those things, or is that something that might be prevented going forward?
With this one, you know, it's one of those freak things, putting his foot down at the wrong spot. It's hard to know how you can prevent an injury like that.
Mike Gundy.
And there were people calling, and why are you cutting it? And I'm like, dude, just chill. I'm just getting a trim a little bit. I mean, I was either going to have to put it in a ponytail or trim it a little bit.
I want to hear from the Cowboy Nation.
Show me your lightning
bolt. Oklahoma State.
Jared Lorenzen joining us.
And when I jumped back on that scale, it all kind of hit me at once. Oh my God, I'm at that number? That's the number I'm at? That's when it really kind of hit home.
So Jared, what was that number?
The number was 502.
Bleeping, keep the bleep inbounds, bro. Mitch, bro, can you hear me?
Why don't they put Tom Brady in the Hall of Fame right now? He just put
Mitch,
up 28 points with four passes. I think he is a
Mitch, we'll put you another way, man. Are you high right now?
Anybody who isn't a Patriots fan,
Why not?
I just want to send that
Mitch.
Brady love out there.
Like I always say, have a take. Don't stop. Heath Evans.
I'm good, buddy. How you been?
Great, Heath. How about you? How are things?
Ooh, you know, summer and training camp and preseason. Just try to keep my head above water, buddy.
Justin Thomas. Justin Thomas. Clearly have had an amazing year. Would you like to make it even better right now by coming over to the crunchy side, Justin?
As much as I would love to humor you, I'm going to have to stay with Creamy. I'm not wavering sides there.
Cuddy's the right guy for that, right? Cuddy can stay down. Cuddy is the right man at the right time. Right? Of course he isn't. But it's going to be fun as hell to watch. Kalani Sitake is my guest.
Thanks for having me on, Jim. I'm excited about that Jungle Karma coming back again for me this
man,
year.
You got it.
Coach Freeze was very
and you've got a guy who's that profound, allegedly, in his faith. But you were none of those things. You're a fraud. You're a hypocrite. You're a liar. Shouldn't you have been out looking for a five-star tight end and not a five-star tight end? Edward in Little Rock.
My first name is John, so I appreciate you ruining that name for me, John.
Edward from Little Rock is mad he don't have that kick. Monkey ass bitch, monkey ass bitch. Gorilla ball! Monkey ass bitch.
Delaney Walker is my guest.
Whenever I'm out there, I give it 100. 100 every play. So, you know, just to hear guys say that, it goes a long way to know that my peers see me out there working.
Grandmothers without their tops on the beach.
Nucky Grandma!
Couldn't unsee that. Couldn't erase that image. And if you think I had a problem with it, you can only imagine what my youngster Logan thought when he saw that. Josh in Detroit.
I thought I would check out the Lions. We're going to go 1-15. The same old organization. And so...
There are some boos here in the stadium.
Now, I'm out of money for season tickets, and the only thing I can do is go to the games, get drunk, find a little tenderoni, and take him home for the night and ruin him.
Tanika with the golden ticket. I think I'm pretty safe in saying she ain't going to get schmacky helicoptered either. Now, Mike Socia is my guest.
You know, sometimes Father Time catches up to all of us, and I think he did with Jared.
Not you and me, Mike. Never.
Yeah, he's biting on my tail, no doubt.
Cameron Smith. I saw yesterday there was a shaved ice truck at the end of practice.
I did not get any.
Oh, come on.
Everyone storms over there, so there's a huge line.
Hey, Squirrel, you're literally blocked.
Tom Brady should be in the Hall of Fame.
Diarrhea out of his mouth.
I'm a man. I'm
50.
Whoa.
A leather studded Speedo.
Poop emoji.
Oh, my gosh.
How you know you're.
I see you in the woods, sir, guys.
I've always been a big fan of you.
Continue to be.
Yep, I'll take the jungle karma any day.
Elephant just left the room.
How excited were the clones to have you back on the air this Monday?
Somewhat excited.
Thanks for asking.
Thank you for answering.
I'm out.
Good night now.
That's good, Alvy. Really good. Benny in Wisco making his first appearance since the smack off. Benny, what's up?
Not much, man. With all the rat and horse and giraffe talk, this is just what our little animal planet of a show is missing. Cougars ranting about jaguars. Danica calling and saying you're going to go to a Jags game to get drunk and ruin a tenderoni is like a Jags fan saying that they're going to go to a Jags game, get drunk, and ruin a tenderoni. I mean, what the hell else are you going to do there? Watch a football game? Next, you're going to try to tell me that one of my fellow Packer fans is going to head to Lambeau on a cold Sunday, drink 14 beers before noon, smash themselves full of bratwurst and kraut, and then find a little Lavoratoni to ruin. I mean, are fans at Cruz Pedregon's race today not going to be dressed in their nicest Tweety Bird pajama pants either? I'm not going to tie up this line much longer, Jim. I'm sure Danica's on hold wanting to give you guys her address so you can mail her actual golden ticket because the employees at the Jacksonville Cash for Gold won't accept today's podcast. They're stuck on audio as a bartering tool. And aside from that, I'm going to imbibe this afternoon on going a little Benderoni myself. Have a good weekend.
Goodbye, Benjamin. So good to be back, clones. Thank you very much for checking in. Thank you for listening. Now do what you do. Hit subscribe, tell a friend, and as always, trust the podcast. And check back next week for more Daily Jungle. We'll see you then.